Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And then in Luke chapter number 21, Luke chapter 21, and we'll begin in verse number 1, Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we look at this very sacred subject, dear God, and as we begin the process of climbing a brand new mountain this month of September, that you'll help us, Lord. I ask, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would direct the words that are preached tonight and the message, dear God, that would be conveyed properly. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would all learn a little bit more about sacrifice and, Lord, be a little more tender to your Spirit in this area of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Excited about this month and about the new mountain that we're going to climb in the month of September. The mountain of supreme sacrifice. And we're going to eventually spend a couple of messages up on the mountain with Abraham. And I'm going to get there. And I want to talk about Isaac and God's unusual request that he were to offer his son, the promised son, Isaac. And what an astounding story. And how much can be learned from that. And I believe this. I believe that, you know what? Every single person in their life has an Isaac. And you know what? There's going to be at some point, somewhere in your life, where God's going to ask something from you that would require you to make a supreme sacrifice. Now, he may give it back to you. He gave Isaac back, amen? Hey, by the way, he may not. He may not. Well, as long as I know that he'll stay the hand, well, we don't know that. And you know what, folks? There is certain times that the Lord just tests us. Just to say, is there anything that you have? Is there anything or anyone that you love more than you love me? If I were to point and ask for something, it would be very difficult. Would you be willing to do that? And so we're going to talk about this matter of sacrifice. I wanted to take a Wednesday night, kind of introduce the thought and define this matter of sacrifice. So I'm going to speak tonight on the subject of sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. We're going to watch an offering take place. We're going to watch this defined for us monetarily. But I'm hoping that you'll see way beyond just that, because I believe that sacrifice, for the most part, isn't just certainly about the material things of life. I think there's a lot of ways that God might ask us to sacrifice. And so we're going to try to at least lay a foundation, give a good solid definition, and I think sort through some things in our mind that allow the Holy Spirit to work in the future during this month to help us get to the top of that mountain of supreme sacrifice. We have a story here of a lady that was commended by Jesus Christ, recognized by the Lord, and the God of heaven saw to it that in Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21, this lady and her offering would be recorded for each and every one of us. Folks, let me just help you with something. You say, Preacher, by the way, I don't know. I don't attend other churches, so it's hard for me to compare what we do here with other places. I've never been shy or backwards or hesitant about teaching on the importance of bringing your tithe to the Lord's house. To me, that's elementary Christianity. That's not something that you give to the Lord. It already belongs to Him. If you don't give it, you stole something that belongs to Him. That's why the Bible says bring a tithe and an offering. I think the tithe measures our obedience and the offering measures our love and our sacrifice. And so God gives some of the best financial advice. Preacher, we're a young couple starting out. Let me give you good advice. Tithe. Tithe to the local assembly. If your membership's here, this is where your tithe ought to come. And this is where you're coming to get getting fed. This is where your tithe ought to come. Tithes and offerings. To do any less than that, again, and I know you know this, and I'm assuming most of you do, and that you practice it, but, boy, let's just get that settled. You see, I'm a preacher, but beyond that, sometimes you're not shy about asking for extra. No, I'm not. We're going to start a church. I know, preacher, we're going to start a church, but you're talking about, like, buying property, yeah. And, like, building, yes. Uh-huh. Well, that's crazy, yeah. Guilty as charged, all right? Yeah, and guess what it's going to require? It's going to require some sacrifice. Some sacrifice. Hey, preacher, don't you feel bad about that? No. No, stay with me tonight. Stay with me. And then you're talking about that, and then you get up and say, we need to take a special offering on a pull for the bus ministry Sunday to provide some scholarship money for some kids that I think will eventually earn their way to come to Blessed Hope Baptist School but don't have the funds. Yeah. Well, don't you feel bad about that? No. Well, he just asks for money all the time. By the way, that's not true. And I'm going to show you by the end of the message that if you're saying that, that's not anything about me. That's really revealing something about you. I will say this, and, you know, there is a part of me that thinks, okay, I know, I understand people don't have endless resources. But we've got a group of young people that are getting ready to go to Rhode Island on a trip. And we took them a year ago to the Hopi Indian Reservation, do a home missions trip. We're taking them out to Rhode Island, do a home missions trip. I promise you, folks, look right up here. I promise you, don't take my word for it. You talk to the young people and ask them if that was not a life-changing trip that they went on. And our group didn't come back the same. It didn't. A lot of people want to see the miracles among the young people, but they don't understand that, folks, can I say this? It costs. Those kind of opportunities cost. I've got families that have two. Some of them have three that are in that age group. And it's going to cost, you know, most of I'm asking the young people to sacrifice. I'm not asking everybody. I'm asking the young people and their families to sacrifice to send them on this. And it's going to cost about $260, $70 a piece for them to come on this. Folks, listen to me. That's a hard, it's tough. If we had some folks that could, that would say, preacher, I'm not asking you to pay for anybody's whole way anywhere, but if you could help out with $100 that I could take in a kid that's working and trying and hasn't got there yet, say, what's that called? It's called sacrifice. I think that when you get to heaven and when God does again something life-changing and that kid is directed throughout their life to serve the Lord, I think that the dividends that pays off on $100 when you get to heaven, you're going to be pretty happy about it. And again, there's people in this church that $100 for you to come up with extra might be something that almost, preacher, you might as well ask for $1 million. There's other people that maybe could do that. And the honest truth is it wouldn't be that much of a sacrifice to do it. But I'm going to talk to you about sacrifice. I'm going to talk to you about sacrifice tonight. And we don't come to the well all the time, but we have things that come up. We have opportunities. We have ways to help. And I hope that we always keep the testimony that our church has. And that is that we have, and I hope we'll always continue to be a sacrificial church. Now, folks, can I say this? I know that that's true of the older generation that's on the second half of the journey. Young people, let me just say this. It needs to be true of you young ones, too. Because more and more of them, their circumstances of life are changing, and sooner or later they're going to go be with Jesus, and we have to have a new generation that learns and understands and is willing to participate in sacrificial giving. Sacrificial. What are we talking about? We're talking about climbing the mountain of sacrifice. Hey, if you can't handle this message, when I come and tell you about God wanting Isaac, you don't have a chance. But a lot of times before God deals with that level of sacrificial giving, He's got to get us to the point where we even understand what it is. And so that's what I want to accomplish tonight. Let's start with this thought. Number one, sacrificial giving defined. Defined. Sacrificial giving defined. Say, preacher, what does it mean? What is sacrificial giving? What's it mean? I believe that a person. By the way, you can give on a regular basis and not give sacrificially. You can give on a regular basis and not give sacrificially. Jesus saw some rich people come and they cast much in the offering. They gave. But you know what? They didn't give sacrificially. If they would have, then Jesus would have given them the same attention that he gave the widow. Now stay with me here. What is sacrificial giving? Sacrificial giving is giving to the work of the Lord out of, here's the phrase the Bible uses, our living. Our living. Jesus commended this lady. He said that she gave even all her living. And in the other portion of Scripture, in Luke, all the living that she had. And so stay with me. Watch this. What is sacrificial giving? It means that we have given to the work of the Lord in such a way that it has an impact on our standard of living. The rich people gave out of their abundance. It was extra anyway. They didn't have to change anything. They didn't have to adjust anything. It was abundance giving. This lady gave up her very living. It means to offer something of value at great personal cost to oneself. Now, I don't believe in equal giving, but I believe the church ought to be involved in equal sacrifice. By the way, let me just explain this, and I'm going to kind of cover this out the gate, but we're going to talk about the extent of this. I mean, this wasn't just hurting a little bit. Did you understand those phrases? All the living that she had, even all her living. And I'm going to explain something right out the gate so that everybody here understands that I understand that the Lord is not going to ask you every week of your life to give everything that you have. I don't think that that lady was told by God every week to give all of her living. I think that this was something that God spoke to her about, and I think it's something that she obeyed the Lord on. And you know what? The whole idea is this. I'm not talking about telling you, preacher, what are we supposed to do? Just every week, everything that comes in, just give it all? No, but if God were to tell you to do that on any given week, you ought to be willing and able and anxious and excited to do it. Amen. Amen. And so that's sacrificial giving. Even all her living, all the living that she had. I told you all this is going to have to settle in on you a little bit. See, well, wait a minute, preacher. Are you telling me that it would be possible that God might ask my family, me, to give something up for Him that I need to sustain my very life? Well, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's get a Bible answer to a Bible question. 1 Kings chapter 17. Would God be so unreasonable, preacher, to ask somebody to give in such a way that it puts at risk their very existence? Is it possible that God would ask me to give something up for Him that I needed to sustain my very life? 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 8. 16:8, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, 1 Kings 17:8, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, what's interesting about this is we talked about sacrificial giving a minute ago, and who was the person involved in that? A widow. We don't know her name, but she was a widow. Isn't it interesting the way God kind of puts us in these situations biblically? It's kind of like when the Jews who hated the Samaritans, every time Jesus would tell a parable, the hero was a Samaritan, you know? And he just kind of used his stories in such a way to, you know, kind of, well, wait a minute. We're going to study sacrificial giving, and Jesus twice now is using who? Okay, all right. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, kind of like an afterthought, said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me, my son, that we may eat it. Wait a minute, what's the last two words? And die. We're talking about sacrificial giving. Let's just let the Bible define it for us, okay? Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thine son. That's interesting. Because if you listen carefully what he said, you go ahead and do what you were going to do. You go ahead and take the little bit of meal that's left and you make it for you and your son. But before you do that, make me a cake. Now she's sitting there. Now one of two things is happening in this woman's mind. She's either saying, this man's been out in the hot sun so long that he didn't hear me. He's not understanding what I just said. Or he just told me something if I'll hear it. Because he just told me, you're going to get to go ahead and do what you were going to do, but you're going to do this, but you need to do this first. And I think she heard that, and there was just a little spark of faith there. You know, that's the man of God, that's the prophet. And he just said that I can go ahead and do what I was planning on doing, but first, to make him a cake out of what I have left. So, how's that going to work? God must be going to do something here. Now, wait a minute. It's easy for us in hindsight to look at this, but she didn't have this chapter to read and see how it was going to end up, okay? So, there it is. All right. Now, verse 14, and thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fan until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, let me just answer the question, because I want to answer it biblically and fairly. Preacher, you think the Lord would ask me to give something that was going to sustain the life of my family, not unless he had a plan on how he was going to miraculously take care of that anyway? You won't find a story in the Bible where God asked for something and that person went and sat in their house and died. And what I'm saying is this. Watch this. Real simple. Trust God. Trust God. From time to time, and I'm not saying, I've already said it's not going to be every week. I'm not saying it's going to be every year. But there's going to be times when God comes to you and he's going to lay upon your heart something that if you were to do it for him, would be truly sacrificial in your giving. And you know what? If it doesn't adjust your standard of living, and even to the point where God may ask of all your living, did he do that? Am I misreading this? Okay, then let's be Bible-believing Christians, all right? Now, I'm going to show you in a minute why God... You say, preacher, I don't understand why God would have a right. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to give you the answer to that. Here's a story where this woman was asked to sacrifice. Watch this, and I think this is important, and we also point this out before we leave this story. This woman was asked to sacrifice not during a time of plenty, but during a time of famine. It reminds me of a small group of people that began to meet in a garage several years ago in 1973, and then 1975 they bought a piece of property, the property that you're sitting on. And in 1976, they decide to build a building the same year that Jimmy Carter is voted in as President of the United States. And those of you that lived during the Carter administration, I'm not blaming Jimmy Carter for all of it, but saw interest rates go from 6% to 22, 23, 24%. And people parked in lines at gas stations because of a gas shortage. And rocketing interest rates, and I mean, it wasn't a time of plenty. It was recession, borderline depression. And a group of people say, let us rise up and build a church. And this auditorium was built out of the sacrificial giving of God's people, not during a time of plenty, but during a time of want. And what I'm saying, well, preacher, you know what? We give, but boy, haven't you been paying attention? I don't check the economy. I just check what the Lord wants me to do. I mean, but you need to look at these charts. You can get online. I get it. But you know what? Whatever the Lord says to do, I'm going to do it. Now, stay with me because we're going somewhere, and I want you to listen. I want you to get used to this idea. This makes some folks nervous. It makes newer Christians, good night, what's going on? I know what's going to happen at the end of this. He's going to ask us to give all the money that we make in the month of September to the church, or something crazy is about to happen. No, no. Let me tell you how the encouragement to give is handled here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I learned a lot of things from my father, and I certainly credit him. I learned it from him. Any time we had a special need or a special offering, my dad would always get up and say the same thing. He said this: if every single person here will listen, pray about it, and listen to what the Lord tells you to give, and obey Him and give it, I promise you that what comes in will be exactly 100% right. Okay. And so, if you're waiting for some, you know, I'm not the preacher that pulls out the wallet and pulls out a $100 bill and say, I've got 100, I need 10 guys to stand up who has, I'm not that preacher, okay? Because I don't have a $100 bill. And if I had one, I might actually pull that one of these days. I got a dollar bill. I need 100 people to match this so I can have a $100 bill and then come next Sunday. Amen? But, no, we don't do crazy stuff, but we do. Listen, here's something crazy. Trust God. Ask Him. And then, by the way, I said ask Him. Oh, well, I pray about it. Did you really? Or did you predetermine what you were going to do? And you know what? No matter what anybody says, you ain't changing your mind. All right, then. You know what? Then you're missing out on a great, great part of the Christian life. I think one of the greatest adventures in the Christian life, adventures of faith, is in this matter of being Holy Spirit tender when it comes to giving. Okay? Every time, I don't know any illustrations but my life because I don't know what other people do. Me and Samuel was out knocking on doors. And if you'll, where's he at? All right, there he is. What, you guys excommunicating from the front row? Listen, brother, you're with a better crowd back there, I'm telling you right now. So, But we went to a lady's house. Front door they obviously didn't use, went around the back door. I like back porch people, amen. And knocked on the door. And an older lady came to the door, and I was sitting there waiting for her to come. Didn't know if anybody was home, and I looked in the garage, and they got the garage door open. There's an old, you remember the old, in the 80s, they decided, Ford made an LTD station wagon. For some reason, they decided to put wood grain on the side of it. I mean, brother, I'm going to tell you, that was, let's just leave it at that. That was misguided, but I don't know. Someone explained to me the 60s, 70s, and 80s one of these days, but... I told Tim, I said, I used to have a car like that. We didn't have it for very long. We acquired that car. We had it for about 2 months. We had a piece of junk car. And then we acquired this station wagon, which to us was a very nice car back when we got it. And we had it for about 2 months. And we were pastoring the church up in Brazil, a little storefront church, and a family that was in dire straits with several children that were coming to our church did not have a vehicle. And we went to visit them one day, and before I could get back to that station wagon, I knew God wanted me to give that station wagon to them. And Brother Ali, I didn't want to give that station wagon to them. Now I look at it and thought, why didn't I just say, yeah? Things ugly. But for us, it was, now watch this. Watch this. Well, if I had, well, what do you have? You know, well, God's asking this, but okay then. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I got in the car and started up the car and looked over at my wife and said, guess what? She says, what? I said, we need to really enjoy this drive home. Because I know God wants us to give this car to this family. Now, folks, let me just tell you this. You're never going to outgive God. Just get it out of you. I mean, listen, I'm not talking about you coming up with it. I didn't come up with that. I didn't even want to do it. I mean, when the Holy Spirit spoke to me about that, it wasn't like, oh no. Seriously? I mean, we just got this car. It's like the first decent car we've had since we've been married, aren't we? You know. And so what do you do? Next Sunday, we gave him the car. You say, well, I know, but isn't that neat? Hey, listen, I could do it if I wanted to. I'm not going to. Because now I've already lost the rewards I would have gotten in heaven for telling you that one. So I'm not going to go through and chronicle our life, but I can tell you this. When it comes to material things, I just got this straight in my brain a long time ago. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He's thinking everything that I have ultimately belongs to Him. Anytime He taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, that thing that I've let you have for a while, I want you to do this with it, boom. I'm not saying there aren't some times where it's like, but you know what? Boom. It's at His disposal. It's at His disposal. Stay with me here. Watch this. Let's go, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. Preacher, I need some more verses. I'm trying to get there. I need some more verses. Well, let's help each other out. And again, folks, I'm not saying that on most weeks of your life you come with your tithe and you come with your offering and you give something to missions once a month. And you know what? Most of the time, God's just, that's great. But every once in a while, God's going to come to you and say, hey, here's a need. And you're going to say, Lord, we can't afford this. We can't afford this. We can't afford this. And you're asking me to do this? Yeah, that's what I'm doing. God says, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, like that, like I did to the widow. I mean, have I asked for all of your living? I did her. She did it. So why do you think that my character would change when it comes to you? Why don't you? Why would you think it'd be strange that a handful of times in your life I'd come to test you? I tested her. She passed. You know what? I recorded in the Bible forever what she did. Why do you think that it would be different for any of us that God would come and ask something unusual? Okay? I'm all for budgets, but folks, listen to me. If you're just, well, I follow my budget and I don't deviate. I thought you better deviate. The Holy Spirit says deviate. Now watch what it says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. By the way, if you go back to Acts chapter 4, persecution, severe persecution has begun on the early church. We'll read later on where a man named Saul, who will become Paul, is hailing men and women into prison. Great persecution. You come out publicly as a follower of Jesus Christ. The Jewish people are turning on you. Now watch this, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, neither said, now watch this, I love this, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed, what's the last three words? Now get there. Just get there. That's my car. No, it's not. It's God's. Well, this is my property. No, it's not. It's God's. Well, this is my house. No, it's not. It's God's. No, it's mine. It's mine. Okay, let's get your deed out. And let's look at all of the names of people that at one time stood on that same piece of property and said, it's mine. And guess what? It's not theirs anymore. One of these days, it's not going to be yours anymore. And yet, we'll fuss and fight and carry on like a bunch of crazy people over something that doesn't even belong to us. Stay with me. I mean, it's God's. Okay, he's given me a little piece of His earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's given me a little piece of His earth to live on for a while I'm here. And by the way, I think to take good custodial care of. I think anybody and everybody that God allows to have a piece of property, from the time you bought, God gave it to you, to the time you pass it to whoever has it next, it ought to be better for you being there. I think the greatest environmentalists, biblical environmentalists, ought to be Christians. Because we recognize the earth is the Lord's. Why wouldn't we take care of His property? Okay, you don't be a wacko pinko liberal, tree hugger, crazy person. I mean, you know what? I don't throw trash out the window because I don't want to litter God's earth. Okay, I plant trees that I'm never going to see come to maturation. You know why? Because somebody else will. I mean, you know what? God let me have this little piece for a while. I'm going to pass it on better. I mean, the house ought to be... Come on, I'm helping you here. The house ought to be better, not worse, because you live there. Neighbors ought to be looking every time they pass by. They go, oh, my goodness sake. Every time I drive by there, my property value goes down some more. It's good for us. Amen. All right. We're having a good time here tonight. Remember, we usually stay an hour, so you only got 16 more minutes. You'll be fine. We'll get you out of here. You'll be all right. Watch this. This is what they said. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things come. Now, this isn't communism, folks. This is simply people that recognize that, Lord, when I got saved, things change. And I no longer am going to tell anybody that anything that I possess is mine. And Lord, it's available to you. It's yours. And God directed during this time of great persecution for some of them to be very sacrificial because, okay, if men and women are being held into prison because of their faith, who's taking care of their kids? And if a man is being held into prison, who's going to take care of that lady that's still trying to raise those kids? I mean, this is real life stuff. I'm not talking about our circumstances right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You got to go to where they were at and understand what they were experiencing. Okay? Now stay with me. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them. Now, wait a minute. Wow. And by the way, folks, don't let's just read past that. That's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Why did they do it? Because God spoke to their heart and said, we're in crisis situation. There's all kinds of families that are suffering great persecution. There's people that ain't going to have groceries tonight. And you know what? God has given you some abundance that you can liquidate. And by the way, do that because this is survival time for the early New Testament church. Again, I'm not saying that every generation we're in that same place, but I'm just showing you that they were tender to whatever God would say. You know why? Because they did not view what they possessed as their own. So what did they do? They sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution made unto every man according as he had need. Again, this isn't communism. This isn't saying that everybody here that has more than somebody else ought to sell what they had. Folks, don't take this out of context. This isn't communism. This is crisis situation, people being arrested, new Christians in survival mode, and people saying we got to do something to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not going on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now that I know of, where people are being arrested for the faith and killed for the faith and families being left desolate that we need to sell. You know, but it doesn't have to be that, but I'm just trying to give you perspective here. People that want to take this and turn it into communism don't understand the Bible. And then it says, and Joseph, who was by the apostle, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted as the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And what are you doing, preacher? I'm just telling you, you know what? There's going to be times, and it happened to Barnabas, where God came to him and said, you've got some property. I want you to sell it. I want you to liquidate it. I want you to help this new fledgling church that's in a crisis persecution situation. People are going to die. People are going to starve. People are going to be thrown out of their homes. We have to help each other. This is just where it's at. And by the way, look right up here. Don't think that can't be the United States of America. Well, we're sitting here in our comfort and thinking, well, we could never get there. I think most of you men and most of you ladies that are adults understand we could be there in 6 months. The finances of this country is a house of cards. Yeah, but I've got a box full of money. No, you got a box full of paper. It's only worth something when they stand behind it and say it's worth something. Okay? So what am I saying? I'm saying this is what they did, crisis situation. God taps you on the shoulder, says, you know what? That bus kid needs to go to Christian school. Taps you on the shoulder and says, you know what? I mean, you know what? I'll try to guilt trip anybody into anything. Listen, if nobody knows what the needs are, then how's God going to direct you about the needs? When I get up and say, hey, we've got, you know, 18, 20 teenagers that I believe is going to have an opportunity to go on a life-changing, forever look back. God did something amazing trip. And you know what? There's a lot of them that are struggling as far as whether they're going to be able to go or not. And folks, I don't think money ought to be ever a factor in the will of God or stand in the way of somebody doing something that they really ought to do. I just think that when we have a church family, I just don't ever think that ought to be. And you are not listening to somebody that hasn't put his money where his mouth is on this. I promise you that. I don't need to give you specifics. I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We learned a long time ago. God says you help somebody, we help them. We do it. Okay? So you just get that. Okay, God, it's all yours anyway. Sacrificial giving defined. Sacrificial giving decried. Decried. Go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. What does it mean to decry? To express strong disapproval. I want to just touch on this. I won't stay long. But folks, sacrificial giving is a biblical principle. It's something that the Lord does from time to time in our lives. I think in 2016, as we're getting ready to plant this church, I think God's going to come and visit some people in this church, and you're going to be tested on some things, and I'm going to be tested on some things, and you know what? God's going to find out whether He can trust this church with a vision and with a project, or whether we're all about us and all that we have is ours, and you're not touching my anything, and then you know what? God will find some other church to use. Stay with me. John chapter 12, verse 2. John 12:2, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointments, spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And said one of his disciples, who is it? I don't think he turned out real well. Simon's son, which should what? I'm going to tell you some things in a minute, so listen, okay? I want you to make sure you see these words so you don't think your preacher's too far off base. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, he said this because he cared about the poor. Oh, wait, no, that's not what it said. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. So not everybody that criticizes and swears to have a noble point, a better plan, that's not really what's concerning them. It's not really the nerve that's been touched. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence to give to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a what? And had the bag and bare what was put therein. And said, Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with me, but she had not always. Watch this, folks. Anytime a preacher broaches the subject of sacrificial giving, you're going to have some people decry the principle, rise up and cry out against the principle of sacrificial giving. And let me just tell you this, all right? And I'm not going to spend much time here. I've been doing this a while. Okay? I've been saved for 49 years, preaching for over 35 years. I've lived my life in God's work and in God's house. Show me the man who is the chief critic in the church when it comes to sacrificial giving, and I'll show you a Judas. You know, listen to the guy who said, well, he's always talking about money. First of all, you know that's not true if you come here and listen. But the one time you do mention it, all of a sudden he's always talking about money. Well, why does that? Why? Oh, wait a minute. Took a rock, you throw it in a pack of dogs, the one that starts howling is the one that got hit. Come on. All right. It was Judas that became critical. One of Christ's 12 disciples. Yeah, he's one of the disciples, but he was also a pretender. He was also a thief, and he became a traitor. I listen to people, and you know what? Boy, they rise up in righteous indignation against any plan that involves them might having to give extra money. And I can almost guarantee you somewhere down the road they will turn traitor. Because they have another God. All right? What's that is others got caught up in it. I'm going to have you turn there, but Mark 14:4, the same story, it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves, saying, why was the waste of this ointment made? Wait a minute, the problem is, it starts with the Judas, and if you're not careful, it spills over into, these were some of the other disciples. Good people can pick up the cry of somebody who's carnal. They make it sound spiritual. We could have sold this, and think of all the people we could have fed with this. He wanted to sell it so that money got in the bag so he could take the money out of the bag and steal it. Okay. If you're going to criticize about the way things are spinning around here financially, you better make sure you're tithing, number one. You better make sure you bring offerings on top of the tithe. People that don't tithe and don't give offerings are usually the biggest ones that are critical about the spending, which is hysterical to me. All right. Like I said, didn't all off the turn-up truck, drove it in here tonight again. I don't want to spend my life reacting to the subject of sacrificial giving with a Judas attitude about it. Okay, the subject of giving always separates spiritual mature from the spiritual immature. So we got sacrificial giving defined, sacrificial giving decried, sacrificial giving defended. Well, what did Jesus have to say about it? There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he, Jesus, called his disciples and said to them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. Now, you know, Judas may not like it, but Jesus liked it. Judas might decry against it, but Jesus defended it. You know, if that woman had done something that was unwise or unreasonable, would Jesus have complimented her? I believe this woman was led by the Holy Spirit, dealt with personally and within her home, and I think in that particular week, as she was preparing to bring her offering to the Lord, the sweet Spirit of God, God in heaven, said, I want you to take everything you've got. I know it's not much, but bring me an Isaac. Bring me an Isaac offering. And I think that widow is probably as healed as any of us. Maybe for a few minutes she says, Lord, now you do understand. This is it. There's nothing else to hold me over till next week. This is it. And I think the Lord said, just do it. She had no idea when she walked in the synagogue that day that Jesus Christ, and this to me is just, I love this. See, Jesus, I would love to follow him around just because of his boldness. He comes to the synagogue that day, and I'm sure there's places to sit or stand, and you know what he does? He doesn't go there. He walks right up to the front, and he sits down right by the box where they're throwing the money in, and he just sits there and goes like this. Just watches everybody. What did he do? I said, that's crazy. No, he did it last Sunday morning. He did it tonight. I just love it, man. I think I'd tell you a story about the preacher who decided he was going to do that. They had the offering, so he decided he'd just walk with the ushers and just look up and down and watch what everybody put in. People were nervous, right? But honestly, I don't know why. Why would so? I mean, those of us that are aware of the presence of God, if we're obeying the Lord in what we're doing, why should we care who else sees it? Okay, the only people feeling guilty at that point is not the ones obeying the Lord. And so he goes up there and he says, he's just watching everybody, you know, he's doing this. And here the Lord dealt with her privately, not knowing that all of this was going to happen. She walks in, she heads up there. Maybe she knows Jesus, maybe she doesn't. But she goes in and she obeys the Lord. And the Lord knew what she had done. And everyone else was wowed because people that had abundance were throwing in large amounts of their abundance, but none of them had touched their living. Jesus was wowed because this woman had truly sacrificed. And you know what he did? He stopped everything. Disciples, come here. Did you see what she threw in? Yeah, Lord, like two mites. Oh, you don't understand. That was everything she had. So God's not impressed by big numbers. He takes what we've given and compares to what we have. And you know what? Again, many times God may only ask you to give out of abundance. But it's a wonderful thing to learn early on in your Christian life to be a sacrificial giver. There's people all over this auditorium. I promise young people, listen to what I'm saying because I want you to get this. You young people are coming on up, and one of these days it's going to be your turn. But I promise you, there are people that have been members of this church for decades that could have lived a far higher standard of living. They could have lived in nicer houses and driven nicer cars. Okay? They could have gone on more vacations and more trips. You take somebody that's come here for 40 years and give faithful tithes and offerings and figure out how much that is over a lifetime. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. But you know what they did? They said this. It's not what it's about. A church needs to be built here. Missionaries need to be supported. Christian school needs to start. There's this need. There's that need. And over these many years, every several months, there's something else, and the people have rose up and said, you know what, it's of God, let's do it. And it doesn't mean that everybody brings the same amount. I don't believe in equal giving. I believe in equal sacrifice. I don't believe in equal giving. I believe in equal sacrifice. What for some person is a real sacrifice might not be a sacrifice for somebody else. And again, let's give our tithes and our offerings. Let's support worldwide missions. Let's bring an offering on Wednesday night so that we can sustain the buildings and the property. And then anything beyond that that the Holy Spirit were to tell you to do, be sure and do it. And that's sacrifice. We're going to climb this mountain. Jesus defended it. Called his disciples. He used her as an example. This is a teaching opportunity. He bragged on her. There's no condemnation of her sacrifice. Even though she gave all of her living. But instead, her example is chosen by God to be written down for all men of all times in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus defended the lady that broke the ointment. Remember how we read that one? Called what she did a good work. Made what she did a memorial unto her. All through the New Testament, the example is given and approval heaped upon those who give sacrificially. Example of the early church, Acts 2, Acts 4. Example of Barnabas, Acts chapter 4. Example of the church of Macedonia. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Say, what does that all mean? It means they didn't have nothing and they gave it anyway. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. No matter, here's where are we at the end of this lesson. Listen, I pray that you've come to this conclusion. No matter my financial condition, listen to what I'm going to say. No matter my financial condition, no matter my debt load, no matter my foolish past financial decisions, I will still every week bring the first 10% of my income along with a generous offering on the first day of the week to the house of the Lord. I will still regularly sacrifice for worldwide missions. Robbing God of the tithe and offering and refusing to invest in the worldwide distribution of the gospel will not help you fix your financial problems. Instead, it will compound them. We've looked tonight at the subject of sacrificial giving. Now, here's the question I want you to go home with. When the subject of sacrificial giving is brought to the pulpit by your preacher, or when someone in your church becomes involved in sacrificial giving, it will bring out one of two reactions. Will you and have you tonight reacted like Jesus, or will you or have you tonight reacted like Judas? Because there was some reaction to this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we sing to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like Him. Oh, may we learn something from our Savior tonight. Lord, there's much to do. And Lord, we can all look around and see that this whole world's a mess. And we were told it would be. It was going to wax worse and worse. The spirit of Antichrist is among us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us in these days where there is, Lord, much need, perilous times, difficult times. If you would help us to still have that wonderful New Testament church, Acts chapter 4, wonderful widow mentality, responding with that barrel of meal, just a little meal left, just, Lord, if you say so, I'll trust you. Lord, help us, dear God, to be faithful in what you would have us to do and call us to do. And Lord, may we be tender, please, to your leading in this matter of sacrificial giving. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.